You're listening to the North Carolina Reading Service, broadcasting from Raleigh, North Carolina, serving the blind and print-impaired community since 1983. This is Nancy Jones. For the next hour, I will be reading to you from the November 2021 issue of Vanity Fair magazine, which features Dwayne Johnson, also known as The Rock, on the cover. This is Vanity Fair Part A. Here's this month's editor's letter from Radhika Jones, editor-in-chief. In the photo, Anna Wintour, Annie Leibovitz, Radhika Jones, and Gloria Steinem celebrate the release of Leibovitz's new book, Wonderland, in New York City. This issue brings together profiles of three very powerful people. First, our cover star, Dwayne Johnson, probably the only fixture of the Fast and Furious franchise, whose name is coupled with presidential rumors as regularly as Idris Elba's is with James Bond. But will he or won't he merely scratches the surface. Chris Heath's matchless story goes much deeper into the origins and aspirations of the actor and entrepreneur also known as The Rock. Then there's David Zaslav, the longtime chief executive of Discovery, impresario of Shark Week and Cake Boss, whose proposed merger between Discovery and Warner Media is the latest tectonic shift in the streaming realignment, and one that vaults Zaslav from mere giant to colossus. And there's Katie Porter, the representative from the 45th District of California, who flipped a red district blue in 2018 to take her place in Congress, a single parent fighting for justice with her chosen weapon, a whiteboard. Hollywood, media, politics, these landscapes are in the midst of metamorphosis, and the figures in our November issue are part of the vanguard. This fall, Annie Leibovitz is releasing a collection of her fashion photographs, alluring fantastical images of, in, and around the world of fashion. Wonderland contains everything from portraits of Karl Lagerfeld to an iconic 1999 photo shoot with Sean Combs and Kate Moss that crystallized the marriage of hip-hop and high style. Of the influence of Puffy Takes Paris, Combs later said it was unapologetically black and unapologetically hip-hop in vogue. That's that. Annie has photographed for Vanity Fair and Vogue for more than three decades, most of that time exclusively, and as an artist and high-concept thinker, she has an uncanny ability to document the culture while at the same time laying dreamscape foundations for where it might go next. In September, I hosted a party with Anna Wintour to celebrate Annie and this new book in a pop-up studio space adorned with its images. I love the way she displayed them, pages pinned up on the wall in layout form, just the way we'd look at them as we're putting together an issue of the magazine. Over the past few years, in our pages, Annie has photographed cultural and political figures whose work and legacies deeply influence our world. Ta-Nehisi Coates, Lena Waithe, Emmanuel Macron, Stephen Colbert, Beto O'Rourke, Cicely Tyson, Nancy Pelosi, Kendrick Lamar. We're excited for all the portraits yet to come. Thank you. now for some of the contributors to the issue, and they're all pictured here. Mark Seliger, The Passion of Dwayne Johnson, All That Zazz. Longtime Vanity Fair contributor Seliger describes Dwayne Johnson as larger than life. The photographer first worked with the actor in 2001 when they bonded over country music and denim, according to Seliger. There is a one-of-a-kind quality of a familiar friend and gentleman dressed in humor and tattoos, the photographer says. His infectious smile is just as impressive as his biceps. Brian Stauffer, Four Horsemen of the Forever War. Stauffer is a San Francisco Bay Area-based illustrator whose work often addresses issues surrounding human rights and political conflict. He found himself particularly drawn to his assignment in this issue on the end of the war in Afghanistan, while reflecting on the notion that revenge is expensive and futile. Alice Robb, Last Dance. In 2018, Robb, author of Why We Dream and an upcoming book on femininity and ballet, Don't Think, Dear, started reporting on the fall of the American National Ballet Company. What she found quickly turned into tragedy. I hope the piece highlights not only the precarious situation of many ballet dancers, says Robb, but also how domestic arguments can escalate when guns are within reach. Maximilian Potter. Katie Porter has the floor. Potter is a Vanity Fair contributing editor and an executive producer of Shadows in the Vineyard, the true story of the plot to poison the world's greatest wine, who previously worked as a senior advisor to John Hickenlooper when he was governor of Colorado. Agree or disagree with her politics? I think Porter personifies the best of Congress, says Potter. She provides a reason for hope. Chris Heath, The Passion of Dwayne Johnson. Heath, a Brooklyn-based writer and GQ contributor, first met Johnson nearly 20 years ago. I was spending a few days with him just as he was first transitioning from wrestling into a film career, says Heath. I think that made a big difference to him. It gave him a sense of comfort that I'd known who he once was. It allowed us to dig much deeper into who he has become and who he has always been. Rocker Alana Haim takes a role outside her sister act, with photographs by Nick Riley Bentham. Opening photo shows Alana on a sidewalk, dressed in vintage-looking lurex top and skirt, with Circus Liquors in the background. And that store features a very iconic sign with a clown on it, carrying out the circus theme. And in the next photograph, she appears on a diving board. Going Solo by Brit Hinemuth. Alana Haim makes sonic waves with her sisters, but she's heading to the big screen on her own. "I'm a Valley girl through and through, all day, every day," says Alana Haim. So are her sisters, Esther and Danielle, who with Alana went from writing music on their family's un-air-conditioned living room floor to signing a record deal after high school and being nominated for Grammys as the band Haim. Along the way, the Haims met Oscar-nominated Valley boy Paul Thomas Anderson, who would become a collaborator and close friend, along with his wife Maya Rudolph. Then, one day, an untitled script arrived in Alana's mailbox. Just hers. It was from Anderson. 2 years later, Anderson's mysterious licorice pizza arrives in theaters. Over Zoom, username Baby Haim, the 29-year-old talks acting debuts and Only in the Valley connections. "As the youngest Haim, I was always their doll, and nothing has changed." Believe it or not, Alana's mother was also Anderson's grade school art teacher. When the Haims told the director that he went into his son's room and brought out a painting of the mountain from Close Encounters of the Third Kind, "He had painted it with my mother and then kept it all these years. And he was like, 'I loved your mom. I can't believe you're Miss Rose's daughters.'" Acting was nerve-wracking. Everything was so big, and I was so tiny. But Anderson was her cheerleader. Every time I ever felt like I couldn't do anything, he was like, "You got this. Trust me. You got this." The highly secretive film is about an unlikely couple that change each other's lives in crazy ways. It's really fun. Alana's co-star is Cooper Hoffman, son of Philip Seymour Hoffman, who is also making his acting debut. The pair first met 4 years ago when Anderson asked Alana to babysit a then 14-year-old Hoffman during a trip he made to L.A. Her prized possession is a Sisters of the Moon necklace, a gift from Stevie Nicks. "When I had to take it off for the movie, I was so sad. But this is my power. Everything is in this necklace." Next year, Haim will go on tour again, but she ideally wants to do another film role. "I hope someone wants me to act again, but if not, if this is it, this was the biggest gift of my life." Thank you. Between the Lines. Guitarist Adam Grandusiel of The War on Drugs shares inspirations behind the band's new album, I Don't Live Here Anymore. Who's Your Guardian by The Building? The 2017 song inspired the Space and Whammy action on Living Proof. The Godfather. Time moves so effing slow in the studio, so Sean Everett, co-producer, would always play movies without sound while working. Once he put on The Godfather. Then I had a guitar idea for the end of Occasional Rain. By the time I had finished this 14-second part, we were halfway through Godfather 2. The Collected Poems of Bob Kaufman. I carried the collection around with me for years, often just turning to a random page while writing for inspiration or guidance. Always psychedelic, hilarious, and strange. In the gallery, here's something from Daisy Shaw Ellis, First Frost. In the photo by Chase Middleton, Audemars Piguet Royal Oak Frosted Gold Self-Winding Chronograph Watch. When watchmaker Audemars Piguet began its collaboration with jeweler Carolina Bucci in 2016, she applied her signature Florentine finish, a technique of hand-beating the metal, leaving a matte texture that catches light like a faceted jewel. To petite iterations of the brand's best-selling Royal Oak watches. This year's collection features a white gold version of the model with a larger, more traditionally masculine dial, providing subtle bling. No gems necessary. Shine on. What's trending? Good-natured, a sweater vest serving Smokey Bear vibes and a rugged flannel fit right into the lush landscapes that mark autumn, inspiring their wearers to escape and unplug. To quote our favorite woodland creature, Lord, can you reach me? No, you can't. In the photos, catch fall colors in person and in the two-part special Born in the Rockies, part of the 40th anniversary season of Nature out this month from PBS. Happy Camper, Evolve Together Mosquito Repellent Patches, Sakai Coat, Aaron, Marla Aaron Necklace, Loewy Bum Bag, Le Prunier Plum Screen Sunscreen, D-Squared 2 Vest, Omega Seamaster Diver Watch, Etro Pants, Ursa Major, National Parks Soap Set, Hermes Sweatshirt, Eddie Bauer Hat, Louis Vuitton Lantern, and Gucci Boots, along with a Prada Lunchbox. Now we move on to my place. From Allison Schaller, Food for Thought. At home in Brooklyn, Chef Sophia Rowe likes her tea sweet and her wine with a side of green beans. With illustrations by Cassandre Montorial. In the photos, Rowe bikes regularly, but taking the subway inspires her. It's the lifeline of the city. Smallhold, based in Brooklyn, has a network of farms across the U.S. and sells both ready-to-eat mushrooms and grow-your-own kits. Rowe's favorite green market is at Grand Army Plaza. Rowe favors the Fly for its great green beans and wine list. At Mudflow Bubble Tea for a sweet fix, her go-to, rose milk tea. The freshest produce in town might be found at one of Brooklyn's 100-plus community gardens. I am deeply inspired by people on their own daily quest to tackle the most vibrant city in the world, says Sophia Rowe, a chef and writer who cut her teeth in the 11 Madison Park kitchen and whose Emmy-nominated Vice TV show Counterspace teaches not just recipes, but the habits and politics that make up the global food system. This fall, she's producing a podcast, You Make Me Happy, which will highlight people and places that bring joy, a counter to the heavy news cycle. The Bed-Stuy resident makes time for upstate hikes and mushroom foraging, but lives for home sweet home, favoring local outposts like Patinga, the best coconut milk, and Heal House, an inclusive wellness cafe offering everything from Zen coladas to meditation courses. And in still more from the Vanity's My Stuff, model behavior. For Adud Akej, a new Estee Lauder face, all the world's a runway, but off-duty life is for cooking, baths, and Bridgerton. Style file, everyday bag. I just got a new Alexander McQueen curve bag that I am loving. Go-to shoe, Nike Air Force Ones. Whenever I'm not working, you can find me in these. Closet treasure, my mom and dad's wedding photo. Beloved jewelry, Tiffany & Company T1 bracelet. On Beauty, Skin Saver, Estee Lauder Revitalizing Supreme Plus Moisturizer. Bathing ritual, I love a grapefruit or citrusy smelling bath bomb by Lush. Throw it in, light a candle, and I am all set. Perfume, Valentino Donna Born in Rome. Party makeup, a bold lip, like the new Estee Lauder Pure Color Illuminating Shine Lipstick in shade 915 Royalty. Hair care, condition. When I am growing out my hair, olive oil is amazing. Daily Boost, a supplement gummy for hair, skin, and nails. Workout wear, Ivy Park. At home, recent addition, a set of Le Creuset pots and pans. On the table, I always have fresh flowers. Room scent, Le Labo Santal 26 candles. Bedding, Brooklyn and Core cashmere sheets. For pleasure, reading, Homebody by Rupi Kaur. Watching, Bridgerton. I binged it in a couple of days. The menu, morning beverage, chai tea latte. Comfort food, anything my mom cooks. She makes this traditional South Sudanese dish called kisra that I started making myself. A green, leafy vegetable dish that is chopped and ground into a smooth consistency. Indulgence, a good burger and French fries. Workflow, career idol, Naomi Campbell. Passion project, I am an ambassador for the UNHCR, the UN Refugee Agency. I love giving back. On to collections, this from Claire Lansbaum, Tees of the Trade. In a new book, Haruki Murakami takes a sartorial turn. Haruki Murakami thinks he owns about 200 T-shirts. The prize-winning author of the novels Killing Commendator and The Wind-Up Bird Chronicle and more than 50 other books didn't intend to collect the tees. They just piled up. When I run across an interesting one, I'll buy it on a whim, he says. His new book, Murakami Tee, The T-Shirts I Love, out from Knopf, compiles his favorites and the stories behind them in the candid, unassuming tone that characterizes his nonfiction. Maybe readers will make some unexpected discovery, like I see novelists shop in thrift stores too and buy used T-shirts for $3, he says. Even a novelist has to wear something, right? In the photos, the Norwegian wood shirts were made by a UK publisher, writes Murakami in The T-Shirts I Love. They admired the way the Japanese editions were published in two volumes, one red and one green. Purchased at a Maui thrift store, this shirt inspired the author's 2002 story about the lonely son of a jazz musician, Tony Takatani, which was adapted for film by director Jun Ichikawa. A U.S.-based reader sent this wind-up bird chronicle-inspired shirt to Murakami in Japan after reading the novel. I like this one, he writes, and actually wear it pretty often. A Murakami chose a drawing by illustrator Masaru Fujimoto for this T-shirt, promoting his show on Tokyo FM radio. If you ever have the chance, please give it a listen, he writes. A bit of self-promotion. The author describes picking up this shirt at a concert in Honolulu, and it shows flip-flops on the front of a red T-shirt. The Beach Boys and Hawaii seemed like the perfect pairing, but the audience didn't really get into it. Wrong T-shirt there. The Coca-Cola T-shirt has the flip-flops on a red background. The Beach Boys T-shirt says the Beach Boys going to the beach in white and shades of blue on a blue T-shirt. Now to the red Coca-Cola tee. It's one of several surfing-inspired shirts in Murakami's collection. I'm a little embarrassed to admit it, he writes, but back in the 1980s, I surfed for a few years. Still more on books from Keziah Weir. The thrill of it. In 5 decades of diary entries, Patricia Highsmith reveals her complications. In the photo, one of 18 diaries and 38 notebooks discovered after Highsmith's death in 1995. "Should like to do a novel," wrote 20-year-old Patricia Highsmith in 1941. Something brilliant, of course. 9 years later, she'd publish her first, Strangers on a Train, with the talented Mr. Ripley, and nearly 2 dozen more to follow. Patricia Highsmith, her diaries and notebooks, out from Livewrite and compiled by Highsmith's longtime editor, Anna von Planta, provides stunning access to the mind of a notoriously secretive author. In youth, Highsmith juggled parties and mercurial love affairs. I almost kissed her when we left, but not quite, with a desire for literary greatness. Got very good work done, she wrote at age 22, even though my hair was flat. She befriended Truman Capote and Jane and Paul Bowles, lauded her pet snails, and eulogized her cat with a poem. Appetite for Highsmith's psychological acuity and misanthropic characters is on the rise. Adaptations of Ripley for TV and Deep Water for film are forthcoming in the wake of past screen ventures, including the critically beloved 2015 movie Carol, based on Highsmith's iconic lesbian pulp novel The Price of Salt, and the 1999 Ripley movie starring Matt Damon, Gwyneth Paltrow, Jude Law, and Kate Blanchett, iconic in its own right. And yet, fans of the author will have to reckon with what her diaries present. As she aged, Highsmith became increasingly cantankerous, racist, and anti-Semitic. The intimacy of this collection makes these views, when they arise, particularly upsetting. It's not dissimilar to the creeping discomfort of reading a Highsmith novel, as one is constantly reminded that despite the wit and style, you're still rooting for a murderer. Know Thyself, Further Adventures in Personal Narrative, Illustrative Quotes from Six New Books by a Hoop Star, a Filmmaker, an Artist, and More, with an illustration by Spiros Hilaris of each of these speakers, and it looks a little bit like an Andy Warhol panel. Cal Penn, you can't be serious, dude. We both know you have a tendency to get hangry, so let's talk about the culinary situation at the White House. You're not in Hollywood anymore. Essays and Stories from Gallery Books. Emily Ratajkowski, My Body. In a way, overexposing myself has always felt like the safest option. Strip yourself naked so it seems like no one else can strip you down. Hide nothing so that no one can use your secrets to hurt you. Essays from Metropolitan Books. Spike Lee, Spike. When we were making She's Gotta Have It, we were all saving empty soda cans and bottles to turn in for nickels. That's how we got money to buy film. Monograph, with photographs by David Lee, from Chronicle Chroma. Tom Ford. Tom Ford, 002. I think that I played a large part in the rediscovery of a kind of late mid-20th century hedonistic glamour, and I melded that with contemporary taste. Monograph from Rizzoli. Ai Weiwei, A Thousand Years of Joys and Sorrows. Parsons was like an expensive kindergarten, primly cajoling a bunch of wayward kids into behaving properly, but the time I spent there was important. Memoir from Crown. Dwayne Wade, Dwayne. If we're not trying to empower the next generation, then whatever we set out to do is pointless. Memoir with photographs by Bob Metellus from William Morrow. And onto the agenda in promotions and events. Watch The Wonder Years, a new original comedy inspired by the beloved award-winning series of the same name. This reimagining follows the black middle-class Williams family in Montgomery, Alabama, during the late 1960s. Dean Williams, Elisha E.J. Williams, is the 12-year-old at the center of the coming-of-age story, and Don Cheadle narrates as the voice of adult Dean. The series premiered on Wednesday, September 22nd at 8:30, 7:30 Central Time on ABC, and you can stream it on Hulu. And a podcast, Love is a Crime, a new podcast hosted by Karina Longworth, creator of You Must Remember This, and Vanessa Hope. When a Hollywood mogul shot the agent having an affair with his wife, one of the key femme fatales of 1940s film noir, she was the one who paid the price, featuring John Hamm, Zooey Deschanel, and Griffin Dunne. Subscribe at vf.com/podcast or wherever you get your podcast. Now here's the Proust questionnaire with an illustration by Risco. Scottie Pippen, the six-time NBA champ and author of the new memoir Unguarded, on the Olympics, Superman, and dreams of anonymity. What do you consider your greatest achievement? Being a member of the 1992 Dream Team, representing the United States on a global stage with guys like Michael, Magic, and Larry, was beyond special. What is your favorite journey? My own, from Arkansas to the NBA. What is your most marked characteristic? My look. Who is your favorite hero of fiction? Superman. I like the big S on his chest. It reminds me of myself. What is your most treasured possession? My college degree from the University of Central Arkansas. What is your idea of perfect happiness? Cooking dinner and hanging out with my kids. What is your motto? Be humble and be kind. Be grateful for your journey. Which historical figure do you most identify with? Not one specific person, but I appreciate and respect anyone who has worked hard to achieve happiness and success in their lives. Which living person do you most admire? Barack Obama. What is your greatest extravagance? Fine dining. I love great food, especially when it is complemented by great company. What or who is the greatest love of your life? My kids, Antron, Taylor, Sierra, Scotty Jr., Preston, Justin, and Sophia. I'm so proud of them all. Which talent would you most like to have? Golf. I do shoot in the high 80s. What is your greatest fear? Being on a plane that is about to crash. What do you dislike most about your appearance? Only that I'm too recognizable. A little more anonymity on occasion would be nice. Which words or phrases do you most overuse? Thank you. I don't think that's a bad thing. I appreciate those who deserve to be appreciated. What is your greatest regret? I don't have any. Like everyone, I've made mistakes. Live and learn. That's the key. When and where were you happiest? From a professional standpoint, it didn't get any better than achieving our ultimate goal, whether that meant six NBA championships in 8 years or two Olympic gold medals. But I'm more low-key than people realize. Give me an evening with family or friends, and I'm good. What do you most value in your friends? Loyalty, trust, authenticity. What is your current state of mind? Positive vibes only. That's easier said than done some days, but I'm grateful for all the blessings in my life and hope that the best is yet to come. What is your favorite occupation? Champion. And that was the Proust questionnaire with Scottie Pippen. This program is intended for a blind and print impaired audience. I'm Nancy Jones, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service and broadcasting from its studios in Raleigh, North Carolina. Vanity Fair Part A airs via special subchannel receiver on Saturday and Sunday nights at 11 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, streaming via the World Wide Web at those times. Vanity Fair Part B airs via special subchannel receiver on Monday and Tuesday nights at 11 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, streaming via the World Wide Web at those times. Both Parts A and B are available as a podcast at our website, www.ncreadingservice.org. With comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. We'd enjoy hearing from you. Opening and closing music from Calexico, Interval Selections by Mark Hoffman.